Well, if all things in the world come to a peak, there's certainly a lot to be said about this latest survey done by the Vegetarian Resource Group about the incidence of adult vegetarians in the United States. We're going to be talking to Charles Stoller. You are a co-director, Charles, of the Vegetarian Resource Group.
That's correct. How are you, Ann? Hi, Peter.
I have a little laryngitis, as you may be able to tell.
Okay. It's that time of year with the allergies.
Yeah.
She was screaming, supporting the Steelers against the Baltimore Ravens.
I didn't think so.
She didn't do enough screaming.
She has not yet recovered.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
But anyhow, I wasn't shocked by the survey because it's become very apparent that the number of vegetarians I encounter on a daily basis has certainly increased, as well as, but not to such an extent, as vegans.
Right, I would say so. When I became vegan in 1977, I think I knew a handful of vegans, hardly any. Even vegetarians, I think, was kind of strange. It's interesting, we've been doing an essay contest for kids since about the 1980s, and I would say when kids wrote their essays, they may not know anyone, there might be someone in the school. And today, pretty much almost in every class, there's a vegetarian. So, I mean, that just tells you how much times have changed.
Uh-huh.
Also, you know, as far as products, if you look in grocery stores, almost every grocery store, I think, has soy milk and almond milk and veggie burgers. And that certainly wasn't true 20, 30 years ago.
Right. Well, now, can you summarize your findings in this survey? I mean, how big a survey was it?
Okay, we did a Nielsen-Harris poll, so they survey about 2,000 people, and it's a similar survey to a presidential poll. It's the same, you know, Nielsen, who does these kind of surveys. And a lot of times businesses contact us, or researchers or students contact us, and they want to know how many vegetarians there are. And, you know, anecdotally, we all think there's more, so we've been tracking this since about 1994. And the way we ask the question is, do you never eat meat, fish, or poultry? And the reason we ask it that way is because if you just say, are you a vegetarian, people kind of define it very differently.
Oh, yeah.
So we're trying to track how many there really are. It's nice that people want to say they're vegetarian, and that's also amazing to me, that people are no longer embarrassed about it. Whether they are or aren't, they say they are. But anyway, so we said, do you never eat meat, fish, or poultry? So our answers will be a little bit different because we're using the word never. We had about 3.4% of the population that say they're vegetarian. Probably about 10 to 20% of the vegetarians are vegan also. So a vegan is a vegetarian that doesn't use any animal products, so they don't use dairy or eggs either.
No honey. I learned that from my cousin.
Right, no honey. No honey also. Right, exactly. Yes. Okay. We also asked the question, do you never eat meat, fish, or fowl one meal a week, one day a week, more than half the time? And if we added everything together, that is, the people that are vegetarian all the time or eat some vegetarian meal, at least one vegetarian meal a week or more, we came up with about 36%. So what we're saying is about really over a third of the population are eating at least one vegetarian meal a week, which is incredible. But I think that's why all these new products are out there. You know, that's why in the stores you have veggie burgers in every supermarket, you have soy milk. In the last few years, even almond milk in the supermarket. The vegans, like myself, who are often the loudmouths, you know, we promote those items. But they're really not in there just for us. They're really in there because of that third of the population. It caused it probably to happen, but the other people who want it, it may be people also that are lactose intolerant. They may not even be vegetarian. So there's all different reasons, you know, why people are eating the vegetarian meals.
Of course, the reason was what I was going to ask you, is do you think that it's because people are more conscious of how the animals are harvested and raised, because we've gotten a lot of information about that? Or do you think it's for health reasons? I mean, the latest study about eating meat is scary.
Right. I think it's all the reasons people come to it. It could be environment, it could be health, it could be animal rights, it could be animal welfare, it could be economics. What we found from serving our own members and people come to our booths, and these aren't really scientific polls, so they can't be extrapolated necessarily the same way as the Nielsen poll, but whether they come for health or animal reasons, we find they take on all the other reasons, which is interesting. You know, over the years, they maybe come for health reasons, but then they're concerned about animals, or they may be concerned about animals, and they realize, hey, this is better for the environment and better for my health. What's also interesting is from our own survey, again, not the national survey, but survey, whatever the reason was, people seem to have stayed vegetarian for the same length, whether they were health or environmental or animals vegetarians. Personally, we thought it would be because of the animal reasons they would stay vegetarian longer, but it seemed like it didn't matter because it seemed like they took on the other reasons once they entered. But again, this was more of a poll of our members and people coming to our booths, so it may not apply to the population necessarily.
Charles, bear with me a second. I want you to take us the right way, not the wrong way.
Okay.
I sort of understand vegetarianism,
mm-hmm.
sort of, in that I guess if you don't want to expose animals and fish and things like that to unusual punishment, like, and eventually they finish up dead before they're on your plate, mm-hmm. then I suppose you can make a case for vegetarianism and understand that, in fact, it's a very sort of highbrow thing to do. Veganism, I just don't get, because you're not killing anybody in the process. The process of creating eggs, the process for creating whole milk, the process for creating a number of things which you as a vegan choose not to eat, seems entirely arbitrary and capricious, and I just don't follow it at all.
Okay, good question. One of my best friends, who I was actually best man for when I was younger, he had a chicken farm, right? And when their chickens were too old to lay eggs, they sent them off to the soup company, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, so that's what happens to animals once they're too old, which isn't really that old, I think, to be productive. Also, if you're producing milk cows, just like humans, only female cows give milk. So the male cows are actually killed or used for veal especially. So that's really, there's a lot of death really is caused also by the dairy and eggs. So that's the reason why some people may be vegan.
How about honey?
Honey? Vegans don't use honey. People have different opinions on honey. I guess what some people say is because they'll smoke out the hives and they're really bad. I think with the honey, different people look at it differently. Honey.
No, bear with me again. Let me continue to be a nuisance.
That's
because,
good, yeah.
Because
you're ready to be a vegan if you want to be a nuisance, right? You're getting there. You're just like us, a nuisance.
it seems to me that there's a very slender thread between a cow and its eventual end of life situation and, for example, a piece of cheese. or a cup of yogurt, and I just will never get it, I suppose. But I also heard somebody say once upon a time on this program, I think, that carrots actually do squeal when you pull them out of the ground.
Right, but they can't run away from you because they don't have nervous systems. You know, I guess it's like if someone has a pet dog, I don't think they would step on its tail. Or they know that it's in pain if they step on its tail. If they step on a carrot, maybe, but, you know, it's hard to believe. Because they can't run away, so they don't need to have that nervous system.
So, I mean, Peter really firmly believes that you hurt carrots if you pull them.
Well, I'm taking a rather obscure position there, only because I think the position that vegans take seems to me to be extraordinarily obscure.
Yeah, well, actually, without the dairy industry, it would be very hard to have cheap meat. So you really are supporting the dairy industry. And also, the egg industry, it exists because they sell those chickens to be used for meat and soup or in other items. So there really is a relationship, and I think that's how many vegans see it. They see all the relationships.
Well, there's so much passion involved in this whole thing. I wrote an article for a city magazine on vegetarians, our vegetarianism, and I've never had so many outcries from practicing vegetarians. they were threatening.
I think all people are different. I think you have the noisy vegetarians and the quiet vegetarians, just like you have noisy meat eaters and quiet meat eaters. I think it's, if you look at politics, right, People like excitement right now. I think a lot of politicians have nothing to do with vegetarianism, but I think people make extreme statements to get attention, whether they believe it or not. So I think that applies across the board, you know, to all human endeavors.
Since I took several cheap shots, let me be fair and have you take a few minutes to express what you think is the compelling case for a vegetarian diet because it's healthier.
Well, I'm not a dietitian, so I can't necessarily speak to the health aspects. However, most studies say that a whole foods, somewhat lower fat diet is healthier. Seventh-day Adventists, which are, it's a type of religion, and half of them don't eat, are vegetarian, but they all don't drink alcohol. There's been a lot of studies on them comparing, and they say that health-wise, they tend to do better. This doesn't mean just because you're vegetarian, you will definitely be healthier. You could drink beer and eat potato chips and be a vegetarian, and you could be a meat eater, right, and drink beer and eat potato chips. So, you know, there may not be a big difference. But in general, most studies have, again, not being a dietitian, but most studies have shown in general in Mediterranean-style diet, people do better with, which is more grain. Most cultures, except for Western cultures, really don't have meat at the center of the meal. So if you've ever gone to a Chinese restaurant, in general, you know, meat is a little bit within the vegetables or within the grain. Indian food is certainly that way. Even other countries in South America, Mexico, generally there's less meat that people eat than the amount of meat that we all eat.
Yeah, which is excessive.
Here's a tricky one for you. Is wine okay? Is wine vegan?
Some wine is, some wine isn't. As far as being vegan, some wine is filtered through fish bladder. So if it's made that way, it may not be considered technically vegan. What's interesting is we did a poll a while ago. We did a survey on the people that said they eat one or more vegetarian meals a week, and they're not necessarily vegetarian, right? So we said, would you eat sugar if it was filtered through bone char? Most sugar, cane sugar, is filtered through bone char if it's not organic.
Really?
And the majority actually said they wouldn't. But these were meat eaters, so it actually made no sense because if they're meat eaters, well, you know, they're eating animals, they're eating food off the bone, they're chewing on their bone, right?
Yeah.
Why, if these are meat eaters saying they wouldn't eat it, so it just sounded bad to them.
No, here was my point, Charles, and you may not realize this, but egg white is used quite often in the fining process for clarifying wine.
Right.
And we have heard some people telling us, I think, over the years that they try to find out whether or not that's been done to a particular wine, but it's not required on the label.
Right.
So what do you do?
Right.
It is difficult.
So you need to contact the wine companies, and you need to ask them. It's interesting about wine because I think now isn't egg considered an allergen? So in food, I guess they have to report it, I think. I'm not positive. A lot of these ingredients are very hidden. So you really do need to contact these companies. On our website, www.vrg.org, we actually have a list of hundreds of ingredients that may or may not be animal-derived at vrg.org. So anyone interested may want to go look at that list. So at least give them a hint when they're looking at the label what they can question the company about.
Now, Charles, is your organization, would we call it a leading organization on vegetarianism?
I think we lead other people, yes.
we encourage,
we lead, we assist. Yes, we do all that.
I mean, is it like the biggest or the most referred?
We're one of them. I mean, you know, there's different organizations out there.
What are some of the other organizations?
The other organizations... there's a lot of different kinds of organizations. Like, for example, I mentioned there's Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, of course, those are religious. There's Hindus. Those are religious. There's, you know, PETA is an animal rights organization,
which
is a little bit different. Some people support animal rights, so they're coming in from that way. Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine is sort of an animal rights health organization that people support. So there's really a lot of different groups out there.
Yeah, but
I think Vegan Outreach, I think, originally was from Pittsburgh.
I think
they moved, but originally they actually were from Pittsburgh.
Well, we're over at this article. I'll tell you, we had a lot of adamant vegan groups.
We could be
strong-willed, definitely.
I'm trying to figure out if I got half a point. As for my lunch today, I had chicken livers sautéed in ghee. But with some black beans and lentils and quinoa on the side.
Okay, what did you have for breakfast?
Breakfast, I had fruit and nuts.
So you're a third vegetarian.
Oh, there you go. Good.
See that? Yeah. Plus you're nuts too, so you're even more vegetarian, right?
Oh my God, what a relief.
All right. See?
Just Charles,
you're going to be on our side of the fence soon.
Yeah, but Anne's a real sinner because she had boiled eggs.
Not vegan, but vegetarian. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, where do you think this is going to end up? I mean, it just, I follow Mark Bittman. We've known him for a long time. And his health got so out of control. And being a food writer, you know, he had to come up with a plan where he would not kill himself with this food eating and so forth. So he started out with this vegan till 6. And then he had a regular omnivore, carnivore, whatever, dinner. But now he's just left the New York Times and he's in San Francisco heading up a vegan group called Purple Carrot.
Uh-huh.
And he's a very, very influential guy.
Uh-huh.
And we had somebody who has a animal sanctuary on, and I had never heard of him, but apparently vegetarians had, because we had 7,000 hits within the hour.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so where is this heading?
Yeah. Well, again, when I became vegetarian in my life, when I became vegetarian, like in 1975, vegan in 77, I never thought we'd be at where we are today. I never thought there'd be this many vegetarians or vegans, but I think eventually mostly everyone will be vegetarian most, you know, and it might be economics, and I think part of it's just that there's more and more good food available and people are going to be creating good food. So it's really going to be because of convenience. That's what's going to be out there, and it's just going to make sense for all the reasons. Doesn't mean everyone will be vegetarian 100% of the time, but now there's so many more substitutes than there used to be. I mean, it's incredible to me when I go in the supermarket and I see how many that almond milk is there. I mean, how much soy milk and almond milk?
Cashew, everything, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, back in the 70s, if you wanted soy milk, you ordered powdered soy milk through the mail. Now it's actually in the dairy case. There's meat analogs in the dairy case. It's interesting, sort of related, but our local large supermarket, I guess back in the 80s, they were adding organic food, right? And they had no idea what they're doing. Someone from here was on their tuna board, and they're wrapping it in plastic. And she was trying to explain to them, anyone that wants organic food doesn't want it wrapped in plastic. Right? They didn't understand that. Right? But now they're beginning to understand. So, you know, on every front, I think we're moving forward.
Well, I mean, I really believe that it's probably the wave of the future. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us about it and to discuss your very interesting, I'd say even compelling, survey. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for doing the show.